FM, click on that donate page, or call toll free 877-500-KABU. That's the volunteers are standing by, 877-500-5266. Now, more news and public affairs.
KABU programming is made possible by KABU listener members and support from Portland Underground Graduate School, a local independent learning community offering courses and workshops for continuing lifelong learning, scholarships and other tuition opportunities available, course options and more information online at pugspdx.com.
KABU would like to give special thanks to our local community partners who've donated food for our volunteers today. Breakfast was provided by Zell's Cafe, a breakfast and brunch spot at 1300 Southeast Morrison Street, serving baked salmon Benedict, German waffles, and more. Lunch was provided by The Spicy Spoon, located at 3540 North Mississippi Avenue in the North Portland area. Open from 11 to 8 daily, serving Mexican cuisine. Dinner provided by De Nicola's, located at 3520 Southeast Powell Boulevard. De Nicola's Authentic Italian Restaurant has been a Portland institution for over 40 years. For more information on how you can support KABU, call 877-500-5266 right now.
KABU is looking for someone to help support our end-of-year fundraising and communication efforts from October through December as the Interim Development Director. The Development Director will ensure we meet our annual revenue goals and will generate promotional and press materials and maintain press relationships for KABU. This position requires extensive work with volunteers. The ideal candidate has at least 4 years of proven development experience in the nonprofit sector and strong annual report, newsletter, and grant writing skills. To apply, send a cover letter and resume to Delphine Crescenzo at del@kabu.org or drop off and mail the cover letter and resume to 20 Southeast 8th Avenue, Portland, Oregon, 97214. In the cover letter, please answer the question, why is KABU important? Deadline to apply is Sunday, September 16th, 2018 at midnight. More information can be found at kboo.fm/iddhire2018.
Hi, I'm David Brower, David R. Brower, and I add the R because there are 100 other David Browers in the United States, and that keeps me separate from most of them. I like the direction you're going in, KBOO in Portland, and I wish you had a lot more company.
And the time is 11 a.m. You're listening to KBOO Portland. Coming up next, The Digital Divide.
Digital Divide. This is your host, Robbie Yeaman. Welcome.
And today's program is about voting machines, their vulnerabilities, who cares, and is it fixable? And you're going to hear stories so frightening today, so intense that they're going to scare the donation right out of your wallet and into a membership in your independent, non-corporate, full-strength community radio station. I've got a series of clips for you where we'll be learning about voting machines, their vulnerabilities, DEF CON, which was really exciting. We're going to hear about a bill sponsored by our own Senator Wyden, an advocate for voting paper ballots and secure voting. So let's get on with the show.
Prior to September 2001, when, according to then CIA Director George Tenet, the system was blinking red. And here we are nearly two decades later, and I'm here to say the warning lights are blinking red again. Today, the digital infrastructure that serves this country is literally under attack. Every day, foreign actors, the worst offenders being Russia, China, Iran, and North Korea, every day they are penetrating our digital infrastructure and conducting a range of cyber intrusions and attacks against targets in the United States. The targets range from U.S. businesses to the federal government, including our military, to state and local governments, to academic and financial institutions, and elements of our critical infrastructure, just to name a few.
That's right, voting machines. Remember in 2003 when former Diebold chief executive Walden O'Dell stated openly that he would deliver Ohio to President George W. Bush in 2004? I know you're trying to wipe that out of your mind. But today we're going to talk about voting machine integrity. And do you cringe like I do when I even say those words? How about paper trail? Cybersecurity experts warn. Older voting machines pose a security risk to the integrity of U.S. elections. A total of 41 states have voting machines that are at least a decade old. Some older voting machines are still operating with never updated, never patched versions of Windows XP, a really insecure operating system, super easy to hack. Many of these new machines, or many of these older machines, leave no paper trail of votes, making it nearly impossible to tell when or if hackers manipulated votes. In August 2018, Senate Republicans blocked a Democratic push that would have provided an additional $250 million to beef up election security. The money would have been allocated in grants through the Federal Election Assistance Commission and would have helped, among other things, replace outdated voting equipment and increase cybersecurity efforts. But the amendment failed on a 50-49 vote, 10 votes shy of the 60 needed for it to pass. The votes fell almost entirely on party lines, as only one Republican, Senator Bob Corker of Tennessee, voted for the grant. The nation's top voting machines maker has admitted in a letter to a federal lawmaker that the company installed remote access software on election management systems it sold over a period of 6 years, raising questions about the security of those systems and the integrity of elections that were conducted with them. The same company repeatedly denied that their equipment had any kind of remote access software installed on it. And in a letter sent to Senator Ron Wyden of Oregon in April, ES&S acknowledged that it had provided PC Anywhere remote connection software to a small number of customers, between 2000 and 2006, which was installed on the election management system ES&S that they sold. PC Anywhere is software that allows anyone with a login and password from any location to take control of a computer as if they were sitting at a desk working on that computer. A computer would have to be connected to a network or the internet for someone to access it remotely. Some machines were found to have modems installed in them that could connect to a network or the internet. National Security Chief Dan Coats, an adult in the room, says,
"We all remember the problem with paper ballots back in 2000, Bush Gore, and there have been complaints about electronic voting systems going back to 2004. Mm-hmm. What is the actual solution here?"
Yeah, in fact, the problems in the 2000 election with the hanging chads that you mentioned in Florida led to us to move to electronic systems. And I think the answer is really what we need. Electronic systems, whether they're scanners that read paper ballots or they're touchscreen machines, have advantages, but we need paper backup so that we can ensure that what the software is telling us is accurate.
There are currently 21 states that have electronic voting systems and 5 states that have electronic voting systems with no paper trail at all. Mm-hmm. New Jersey, Delaware, South Carolina, Georgia, and Louisiana. Would you say that these states are the most at risk for being hacked?
Well, one thing to keep in mind is that there are a number of aspects to our elections. So there are registration databases that tell us who can vote. There are electronic poll books that are used in many places that allow people to sign in so that they can vote. Those are also things that we have to worry about when we're talking about cyber attacks. When it comes to the voting machines themselves, and as I know what a lot of people are focused on, and ensuring they're secure, it's not that a paperless system is necessarily easier to hack, right? Even if you're filling out a paper ballot, as we do in about two-thirds of the country, and then have that scanned in by a computer, that computer could be hacked too. But the thing that I'm worried about in the 5 states that are all paperless, and then there are another 8 that much of the state might be paperless, for instance, Pennsylvania, is that there's no way to check afterwards with something that's independent of the software to make sure that the totals are accurate. And that's a great concern and why many people who work in this space, and that includes the Department of Homeland Security and others, have recommended that these systems be replaced.
Now, I know we're all focused on the tally because, you know, we want to know if the results could have been altered. There is no evidence that we've heard that the results in the 2016 mm-hmm. presidential election would be different if the election had not been compromised. But do you buy that? Do we know for certain that the results, you know, wouldn't have been different?
Well, so here's the issue, and the discussion around the hacking and the interference in the 2016 election can get a little bit confused. I should emphasize that all of the attacks on the election infrastructure that we know about were against things like the registration databases, attempts to get into election officials' emails, things like that. I'm not aware of any, I don't think there's any public record of any attempt to get into the voting machines themselves. No evidence of any altering of vote totals. But something that's really critical is part of the effort of the Russians in the 2016 election, and frankly in attacks and interference in elections around the world, has been to discredit the whole idea of democracy and trust in democracy, and I think we're going to be seeing more of that. So it does really worry me that in 2018, 2020, with social media propaganda and other things, if there are doubts cast on the outcome of the election, particularly in these states where they don't have paper backup and they're not checking the paper, that you really are leading to potentially just a crisis in the confidence in the electoral system in the United States, and that's really dangerous.
Well, given that Congress just voted down a measure that would have provided additional funding for securing mm-hmm. the vote, how confident are you about these elections that are, you know, just over 100 days away?
Well, I think a key thing, first of all, Congress did provide about $380 million a few months ago for upgrading election infrastructure. I think the key thing for us to focus on for the next few months is that if there is a successful breach of systems, and I think we have to act under the assumption that if there is an antagonistic nation state working against us, that that's a real possibility, that we can make sure that people can still vote and that their votes are counted.
And you're listening to The Digital Divide on KBOO Portland. I'm your host, Rabia Yemen. I'm joined by Delphine. Hi. Can hear you. Let me put up your mic.
Hello. Hello,
so
folks.
Much better that way.
Yes.
And I'm so excited to be able to be doing the show during our drive. You know why? Because it is News and Public Affairs Day.
It is.
And a generous donor has offered a $1,500 match for new and increased donors. And let me tell you what that means. That means if you're not a member, if you have a lapsed membership, if you've never joined KBOO or you were a member years ago, now's your chance to give a call. What's that number, Dal?
877-500-5266.
That's right. Call that number now. There are wonderful, beautiful, attractive, healthy volunteers waiting to take your phone call right there. But here's the thing. If you've never been a member or you've got a lapsed membership and you call, you donate $5 a month, $60 a year, this anonymous, generous donor is going to match that. So your $60 donation is worth $120 to KBOO.
That is exactly right.
Or if you have a $5 a month membership right now,
yes,
and you call and you increase it to $6 a month, that anonymous donor is going to match that. So it's like you have a superhero powers today to double your donation by calling 500-5266.
Absolutely.
Right.
877-500-5266. Right now, or going online at kboo.fm.
That's right. Call, click, send it in brainwaves, but you got to call the number. That's right. Because we want to talk to you. It's more fun when you call. But, you know, I just want to brag a little about the radio show.
Please do, Rabia.
About the digital divide.
Because this is super important, and especially the topic today. As a French person that, you know, only does paper voting, I'm all for it.
Right. and that has been identified as the most critical part of keeping or having integrity in an election. The single factor that mm-hmm. makes an election have integrity is a paper receipt of your vote.
Yeah,
that's all that you need.
I mean, you don't even
need a voting machine. We're not really sure that they're helping at this point, but you know, I just want to talk about the show, The Digital Divide, because you know we have interviewed so many amazing people, and that's part of what. You know, that's part of the cool thing about being a programmer, a volunteer programmer, is that you have the opportunity to call up anybody and say, can I interview you? You know, the only thing holding you back really at KBOO is you. And so I've interviewed cybersecurity expert and writer Bruce Chenier, who just came out with a voting election, science fiction authors Cory Doctorow, Portland legend John Shirley. We've had Howard Bloom, Howard Rheingold, literally all the Howards, no fake news, Professor Stuart Russell, Stephen Jacobs on game theory and design, George Dyson, author of Turing's Cathedral, Donald Hoffman on the nature of reality, and last month we had Christine Hassel from Girl Geek Con, which is going to happen in October in Seattle, empowering women and girls to learn to solve puzzles, play games, and learn to code.
Absolutely, because when people donate to KBOO, this is what they pay towards. They pay towards all of us being able to get the training and get the airtime and then get the drive to do all of these, to connect with these people. And then we also get the reputation of KBOO, because all of these folks said yes to you, Rabia, and then you brought them on to the air to our listeners. This is what we do, folks. We have created a participatory media form, and you have a part to play as well. 877-500-5266.
What's my monetary goal for my show today?
The goal is $400.
Okay.
We can make it happen, and we can even double it. With this match.
So I would just put a challenge out there to you folks listening in Vancouver, in Washougal, in Hood River, in Portland, in Corvallis, and in Salem, and parts thereof, to give a call now. Let's set a goal of 5 new members during this show. Just 5. 5 of you who are listening, who regularly listen to KBOO, who say to yourself, I'm going to do it, I'm going to get to it, I'm going to call. And then you don't.
But now is the time.
Now's the time. 877-500-5266. And now really is the time, because your membership of $5 a month or $60 a year or more is going to be matched during this show.
Absolutely.
So your 60 is worth 120.
It is, dollar per dollar.
877-500-5266. Let's hear a little bit more about voting machines.
Thank you very much, Ms. Chairman. And Ms. Chairman, first let me thank you for your thoughtfulness in making it possible for me to come today. And I very much look forward to working with you. And Senator Klobuchar and I have discussed these issues as well over the years. Ms. Chairman, you've got a schedule, so I'm just going to try and make a few key points. And perhaps you could just put my full statement into the record. According to the latest numbers, at least 44 million Americans, and perhaps millions more, have no choice but to use insecure voting machines that make hackers and hostile foreign governments salivate. It is, in my view, inexcusable that our democracy depends on such hackable voter technology made by a handful of companies that have been able to evade oversight and, in fact, have actually been stonewalling the Congress for years. The efforts by Russia, obviously, during the 2016 election highlight the vulnerability of our election infrastructure and the serious threats that our people face. As you and I talk, Mr. Chairman, I recently introduced a new cybersecurity bill to focus on the reliability and accuracy of federal elections, and it seems to me enormously important given the prospects that these foreign hackers can get access, can hack the voting machines used by the states. My legislation focuses on 2 common sense measures that are backed by the overwhelming number of cybersecurity experts in our country: paper ballots and risk-limiting audits. And I wrote this bill in spite of this campaign of ducking and bobbing and weaving, really stonewalling, from the major voting machine companies. Over the past year, you and I have touched on this. As a member of the Intelligence Committee, I reached out to cybersecurity experts, election officials, and others, and I wrote the big voting machine companies asking them basic questions about their cybersecurity. These were not complicated questions. They were, have you been hacked? Do you employ in-house cyber experts? Really the basic sort of cyber hygiene 101. The companies refused to answer how or even if they are protecting their systems and the votes of the American people. Earlier this year, the New York Times published a story revealing that ES&S, the largest voting machine manufacturer, was selling devices that came pre-installed with modems and remote monitoring software. The experts say remote access to election infrastructure is now a 5-alarm crisis when it comes to security. My view is you could only make it worse if you were to leave unguarded ballot boxes in Moscow and Beijing. So I kept writing to the company, following up with the same common sense questions. They ignored those as well. It is clear to me, Mr. Chairman, these companies want to be gatekeepers of our democracy, but they seem completely uninterested in safeguarding it. 5 states exclusively use voting machines that do not produce a paper trail. The only record of the votes cast is a digital record, which could be hacked and which is impossible to audit reliably. That strikes me as a prescription for disaster. Americans need to have paper ballots marked by hand, Until that system is adopted, every election that goes by is yet another election that foreign governments, hostile foreign governments, including Russia, can hack. Earlier this year, the Congress appropriated $380 million to help states upgrade their election technology. The money is now in the hands of the Election Assistance Commission on the way to the states. It ought to be used to bolster security. Unfortunately, it's not clear at all how the Election Assistance Commission is actually using the money to do this. And my concern, as you and I have talked about, Mr. Chairman, is the states could go out and buy a whole lot more hackable technology from these stonewalling voting machine companies. Let me just wrap up by saying, before we conclude, the statements of the commissioner, who's number two at the commission, Commissioner McCormick, also concerned me greatly. She stated publicly last year that she disagrees with the intelligence community that Russia sought to influence the 2016 election. Mr. Chairman, you and I have heard again and again that it is the view, and Senator Lankford has heard this as well, it is the overwhelming view of the intelligence community that Russia sought to influence the 2016 election. So I can't for the life of me figure out why the number two official of the Election Assistance Commission is dismissing the analysis of the government's, the administration's intelligence experts. You can set aside the outcome of the 2016 election. No matter who you pulled the lever for the last time around, all of us here in the Senate have to care about defending our elections from foreign hackers going forward. Again, Mr. Chairman, I want to thank you for your courtesy and the time you and I have spent talking about this, and I look forward to working with you in the days ahead.
Senator Ron Wyden on election security, his testimony before Congress. And I want to ask you right now to pull that lever for KABU, 877-500-5266. When you become a member, that's a vote that you can make that does have an effect, that does have an impact, that preserves free speech and independent journalism on your community radio, KBOO. Again, 877-500-5266. Now, H.R. 634, Election Assistance Commission Termination Act, that's right, submitted by Representative Greg Harper, introduced 1-24-2017. This bill would amend the Help American Vote Act, HAVA, of 2002 to terminate the Election Assistance Commission, including the EAC Standards Board and the EAC Board of Advisors. The Office of Management and Budget must perform EAC functions with respect to existing contracts and agreements, and they have to wind up the EAC affairs. This bill transfers specified election administrative functions of the EAC to the Federal Election Commission. And this bill also terminates the Technical Guidelines Development Committee. In effect, it serves to make our elections and our voting systems weaker, which is befuddling. You can make our system stronger by calling 877-500-5266, making a pledge of $5 a month and voting for KABU. Now, S-3049, Protecting American Votes and Elections Act of 2018, submitted by Representative Wyden. This would amend the Help American Vote Act to require paper ballots and risk-limiting audits in all federal elections and for other purposes. So we're going to hear an excerpt from Matt Blaze, a researcher in the areas of secure systems, cryptography, trust management. He is currently an associate professor of computer and information science at the University of Pennsylvania and on the board of directors of the Tor Project and ran the hacking lab at DEF CON.
As Matt said before, there has been
So in 2007, the secretaries of state in Ohio and California both commissioned independent studies from academics to look at the integrity of these different voting systems. And both all of the people on the stage right now actually participated 10 years ago in these exhaustive studies of the voting machine source code. What do you think we discovered? Well, what we discovered was, oh my God, it was even worse than we thought it could be. Every single aspect of these systems, from the touchscreen voting machines to the back-end software that runs them, in every case from every vendor, had exploitable vulnerabilities that could often be exploited by somebody with no more access than a voter or a precinct poll worker. And that was true of every vendor, of every system, of every piece of hardware. To give one example, I led the team that looked at the ESNS system. What we discovered was that the every single input routine in every module of every component of the system had buffer overflows in it that could allow you to exploit it. And as a consequence of that, exploiting a single voting machine would allow you to virally propagate your own software to every other aspect of the system by the next election. That sort of thing was pretty much true in every system that we looked at. To give you a kind of quick example of some of the attacks were fairly sophisticated, some of them were also very simple. One example is the screen recalibration on the machine. We found that it was possible by pushing a few buttons to recalibrate the touch screen to make it impossible to vote for certain candidates, area of the screen corresponding to that candidate's vote would not register for that voter. We found you could disable logging by unplugging an RJ plug, and we also found that you could add new logs by plugging in your own terminal to it. We discovered that a Palm Top computer, like a Palm Pilot, along with a magnet, was sufficient to put the machine into supervisor mode, which would allow you to do things like change its password or load new firmware through the infrared port that was on the front of the machine. So in other words, these machines, I think one of the things we weren't able to put in our report was that the only good thing we could say about these machines was that they don't seem to have too many toxic materials in them to harm the environment when they end up in landfills. But it turns out they also had lead acid batteries in them. So these machines were just, had horrible problems with them. We discovered this 10 years ago. One question is, where are we today? And with that, I'd like Harry to.
All right. So.
All right, we'll continue with that report back from DEF CON in just a couple minutes. I want to encourage you to give a call, 877-500-5266. Make a pledge, make a donation, increase your monthly donation by $1. That gets matched. Any new membership or renewing a lapsed membership right now, matched dollar for dollar up to $1,500, go ahead and make a $1,500 donation, or $1,000, or $500. Support your community radio station. Make that donation for a lifetime. Do it now during this program, The Digital Divide, and get your match doubled. Back to DEF CON.
As Matt said before, there has been only very low number of studies, and actually it has been very small group of privileged people who has been able to inspect the software. So last summer, what happened was I read from Twitter that DEF CON is going to have a hacking village, a voting machine hacking village, and I was in a bar, as I usually am, and was thinking myself, I wonder who is the idiot who is going to run that. It turns out that was Matt and me. So I got the message 20 minutes later. So what we did was we ran a village to help more people to have a first-hand experience. Everybody should know what DEFCON is. The people who don't know, it's in Las Vegas. It's 25 years. It's 25,000 people, growing steadily. We had two
basically
rooms.
Basically like ShmooCon, but worse.
Yes. Longer lines. You have to wait for 2 hours to get the room. We had two rooms. Well, actually, eventually, we have three rooms. We have the speaker track. We had a village. When we started, this is what the room looked like. When the doors were opened, this was what it looked 10 minutes later. There's actually working desks in between. Since we didn't have an election software to run end-to-end election, the village turned immediately to be more hardware, firmware hacking village than a trying to change the outcome of the election type of village. So we had already well established that every machine in the village was hackable. That was not about it. It was about people who have never seen a voting machine or e-poll book in their life, and how quickly they can figure out how to hack that machine. And actually, that was shocking to us. It happened very fast. I have a next slide about that. Why this was possible is DMCA exempt. But this wouldn't have been possible a few years ago because of DMCA. So everything happened really fast when we opened the door. We opened the doors 10 a.m. We were supposed to have an introductory talk for people to understand what they are dealing with at 11. Well, before we even had that, the first machine had fallen wirelessly. There was a Danish scholar who, across the room, used the Wi-Fi. The voting machine in question had a Windows XP first version unpatched. Wonderful. So Metasploit works wonderfully, and that was done. After the speech was done, already he had come back, he had a proof of concept, and a team from Northern California had taken the e-poll book down. So a lot of things happened. One thing that really made me feel good was, and hopefully Matt too, was how many election officials came there and wanted to hack the machine they are using in their daily business of running elections. They have never been able to study legally the machine they have to use. Actually, the biggest problem was to get the election machines logistically there. So we found them from eBay. A couple of sellers got the message from the vendors saying, oh, you cannot sell them. But we got, anyway, a sufficient amount of machines. We had four different voting machines and one e-poll book. Also, the vendors, when they heard about the village, and they sent letters to the jurisdictions using their machine, claiming that we don't have, by buying these machines, we don't have rights to those, but even more, making a claim that these are few rogue machines being sold in eBay, nothing to worry about, they're probably stolen machines, we will take legal action. So this is after DEFCON, on November 13th. They are still today voting machines sold in a hefty price of about $100. I think we bought one machine for $250. We actually bought just a few weeks ago a voting machine which had never been publicly studied in any of the independent studies. That was in eBay. I snatched that off. So that's going to be next year. Also, this might be a rogue machine stolen. So we went with Margaret to the place where they sell those. The story behind it is that the roof of a warehouse, an election warehouse, collapsed. The insurance company totaled everything, and they were an IT recycling company being sold. One thing what scared was when I spoke with the guy, I said, yes, the jurisdiction came back and they bought and put it back in use. And we found out the number of jurisdictions are buying the machines from e-cycling companies and putting them back in use. No chain of custody, no knowledge what has happened to the machine. They just put them back in use. Now, it gets crazier. Would you buy a national security critical infrastructure, as DHS is defined, from a website like this? This company is actually running the elections in three states. And that's the website, how they sell it. Obviously, they sell. Would you really buy this from the website? The answer is yes. Also, there's something interesting here. They also sell the seals and locks. So one of the seals here says, well, it's this official seal of Michigan. Obviously, they won't sell it to someone who doesn't have a government credit card and wants it to ship out of the state. Yeah.
And we're just going to take a little pause in our listening to come to you, listener, and appeal to you to give us a call. We've got a $400 goal for our program today. 877-500-5266 is the number for you to call to talk with one of our lovely volunteers and make your membership. If you are a new member, if you have a lapsed membership, we have a matching grant going on right now from a generous donor, much like yourself, that will match dollar for dollar. It's Dell.
Yes,
our
Ravi,
station manager.
I am your station manager currently. And this is what also you make happen, folks, when you support KBOO 877-500-5266. Well, you get some of us to, you know, who have been volunteer, who've been trained for free here to make radio, then to also, you know, share and lend our skills, you know, in leadership position here at KBOO. Some of us have been doing it for many years. I've only been doing it for a year and a half. And I'm really proud to serve as your station manager currently because I am absolutely amazed at this community. That is why I joined in 2011. And that is, you know, why I actually stepped up to this plate, because I believe in our community and I believe that we are actually doing something amazing. So if you also believe we are doing something amazing, now is your time to call us and tell us what it is, this amazing thing we are doing, why you love it. 877-500-5266 is the number to call. You can also donate online at kboo.fm or on your smartphone if you have one, or you can come meet us here at 20 Southeast 8th Avenue. And as Rabia mentioned, everybody today who donates and becomes a brand new member, or maybe your membership has lapsed, or you would like to increase what you already are donating monthly, well, any contribution that you make today will be matched dollar per dollar up to $1,500, thanks to an amazing KBOO member who's donated toward this matching fund to encourage you to join us. This is your community radio station. This is participatory media. We all have a part to play, and your part to play is by pledging your financial support. 877-500-5266.
That's right. And, you know, I want to say I've been a volunteer at this radio station since 2004.
Longer than I, a long time.
It's not a contest for longevity, but
Folks get us beat by 50 years, Rabia.
Whatever. That's okay. but my point is, I've played almost every kind of a role at this radio station that you can. I have a diversity of experience, and the main thing is, when I first came to the radio station at the invitation to be a guest on someone else's show,
right,
I'd never even been in inside of a radio station. I considered myself a professional radio listener, probably like many of our listeners right now.
Right.
And when I visited the radio station that day, that Thursday morning, and you know, there was a person in this room, in this air room, engineering the program that I was in the studio next door. And when they said, oh yeah, we train people to do that, everybody is a volunteer,
right,
immediately in my head I said, I'm going to learn how to do that. And then I'm going to learn how to do that and that and that.
And you're
that.
Doing it all.
And right. And since 2004, and steadily learning. Right.
And this is thanks to people's contribution. This is why we can make it happen. Yeah.
That's right. And so it's a symbiotic relationship. And I just wanted to say, you know, that KBOO is a radio station. It's uninfluenced by corporate dollars and it has uncompromised content because of you, because of listeners just like you. You're in the groove. You love what you hear, except when you hate it. But you listen because you believe in the importance of free speech and the importance of independent journalism. And you hear stories and interviews and music that expand your mind and your perceptions and your musical geography. And that's why you know in your heart, your head, and your monetary subscription, your monthly membership, is part of that symbiotic relationship between what comes out of the radio and directly into your ear hole. It's working its way down into your brain and your heart, and if you have one, your soul. 877-500-5266. That's my best pitch. Make that phone ring now. Help us reach our goal.
And I know that all of our listeners have heart and soul, Rabia. I know that for a fact. 877-500-5266. Show us you have heart and soul. Tell us what this is. You know, the digital divide is bringing you this critical information. Are we aware exactly how technology is being used for us and against us? And today we're learning about voting machines. Voting is coming up in November, and it's going to be another couple of years, unfortunately, that we have to wait for presidential. But when those elections come again, we need to be ready. We need to be prepared. We need to have a better system. Folks, I'm from France. We've been using paper ballots forever. It works just great. And science and researchers tell us that this is also what would work best here in the U.S., and we all want that. And thank you to Rabia and all of the other volunteers. You make it happen, folks. As Rabia said, this is independent radio because you make us independent. You listeners pay towards this so that we can all get trained, and then what we do is we bring you the most important information. These are really dire times, folks, and you don't want to find yourself with no source of credible information. The digital divide and Rabia Yemen are your source of credible information here on KBOO, and this is your time to show your support and to say thank you. 877-500-5266 is how you do it, or online at kboo.fm.
So we didn't have the software. Next year we want to run an end-to-end elections in summer. So this was really about hacking the actual firmware and the environment. It's also interesting how stupid these things are. So we were doing everything in an e-poll book. You have to vote for him. He's a good guy. The whole structure of the database was reconstructed by the people from error messages. People were hacking and trying to guess the passwords. So they were already guessing passwords. And then one team, I think it was actually Maggie, found this website. And in the website, you find everything. Interestingly enough, the training document says these are the default passwords. Don't change them. And if they have been changed, change them back. This is a machine which is used to count about 18% of the US votes. So there you go. So anyway, we had an incident. One of the e-poll books we got had 654,000 personal information in. Turned it over to the proper authorities. The machines were not sanitized when they are sold. All kind of craziness. And we were giving only the PCMCI cartridges, memory cards, IRDA devices, everything else you had to bring on. This device saved the day. Because actually the hardware is so old that the modern tools don't work. So wonderful general purpose GPIO was enough. And that allowed us to pull the firmware out in a lot of the machines. As Matt mentioned, IRDA, these actually are beaming the totals, aggregating the votes, and beaming the ballots over infrared. Or Wi-Fi in the case of the wind vote. And that's Matt doing that. And, you know, this just happened before DEFCON, so that speaks for itself.
All right. So I guess you could ask now, like, what are we going to do about it? The fact that you have these machines that can be hacked and, you know, who knows if they have been. So one thing that's going on in states right now is various auditing measures. You might be surprised to know that really isn't any implemented right now. So one of the two types that at least I'm familiar with are risk-limiting audits and transitive audits. Risk-limiting audits were conceived of, I'm sorry for the wall of text, I guess hate you all. So risk-limiting audits were conceived of by Dr. Philip Stark from UC Berkeley, and it's basically a statistical way of ballot polling where you don't have to recount the entire election to determine whether or not the winner is likely the winner. It doesn't actually say that the winner is definitely that person. It just means that, like, you know, if they have an 80% margin, you can probably pull like three ballots, and if that person won on those three ballots, you can be reasonably certain they did win by that much. So that's being piloted right now in Colorado, California, and some other states have expressed interest because it's cheaper than doing like a full recount. The one I was most familiar with was transitive audits, which is basically where you use a commercial off-the-shelf scanner, high-speed scanner, and open-source software known as OpenCount, which Hari helped develop. And you basically run a parallel process, because for various reasons, including legal ones, sometimes the vendors don't like you to audit their machines. So this allows you to basically run a parallel audit and then look at that machine by the results that you get from that one. And you can find all sorts of interesting things from this, which we have in the past. For example, sometimes like one voting machine will say that this is a vote. It's got a line going through the bubble. Well, actually, that line is somebody writing screw you across their ballot. And the machine just sort of picked it up. So this is another type of audit that's not currently quite as much being implemented, but it's really interesting, and we've found some really fascinating stuff with it, and you can read that later. Which kind of brings me to the point of like, well, the problem with those audits is that they both require ballots, something you can't do with a DRE touchscreen. You, at the moment, paper is one of the most effective things we know of, that you can anonymously record somebody's vote, and they can walk away, and we can't trace it back to them necessarily, I guess, unless they sign it, which you're not legally allowed to do. So that's why there's big initiatives in the voting security world to get paper ballots back into states that haven't had them since basically the Help America Vote Act. And this kind of brings me to the question of internet voting, which inevitably comes up. So it's kind of like the DRE problem, but compounded with the fact that, you know, anyone in the world can vote wherever they are, no matter what country they are from. So in your election. So the internet is often, people will often ask, why don't we have internet voting? I can bank from my phone. Why can't I vote from my phone? For one thing, online banking gets hacked all the time. So maybe that's not the comparison you want. But I would also point out that they are solving completely different problems. When you have money stolen from your account, you know how much money you have. Your bank knows how much money you have. Other people in your life might not know how much money you have, and you don't mind telling them how much was stolen. With your vote, you have plenty of legitimate reasons to not want somebody to know how you voted. You might not want the government to know how you voted. You might not want your spouse to know how you voted, or your community, or your friends, or your job. So that secret ballot protects you. And at the moment, there is no system, at least none that I know of, maybe they can correct me, that allows you to have an auditable, anonymous system, as anonymous as leaving a piece of paper somewhere that has recorded your vote. And no, blockchain won't help, because that also violates your privacy, and only solves the chain of custody issue, which is one of the simplest ones to solve. We also did a study on one of the other thing that people often point to is Estonia, which has one of the most sophisticated, I guess, internet voting systems out there. We went there with the University of Michigan, and we looked at them, and we discovered a high schooler could have programmed their system. It was extremely flawed, and they didn't like that, but you can find the study on estoniaevoting.org if you want to know more. I didn't want to necessarily talk about that one. But that's another issue that comes up with all this. So one thing that should come out of the DEF CON voting village is further confirmation that we really should not be voting online. Also, there's one thing that we didn't get to bring up enough in the DEF CON hacking village, which I wish we had been more verbal about at the time, was like how people can help who aren't hackers, who can't necessarily hack the machines there. One of them was to volunteer as a poll worker. This is something that every election official will tell you and ask you and beg you to do, because the technical knowledge level is very low. Most of the people are like retirees who want to get out of the house or just help their community. And even if they're younger, they're not always people who can like tell if there's something wrong with the machines. So that's like a really valuable thing that everyone in this room who has a very high technological level compared to your average poll worker can do to help. Promoting auditing measures in your states, if it's out there. And and also check out nonprofits like Verified Voting.
So just a couple sort of parting words. So in November, I got asked to testify on the Hill in the House Government Reform and Oversight Committee on electronic voting. And they asked me basically, you know, spend 5 minutes, and then they told me, oh, actually 4 minutes, giving us your recommendations on what we should do to going forward with voting and what the situation is. And it turns out that 4 minutes is actually kind of enough to summarize what the current state of the art of voting is. The first is a concept that was invented, discovered by Ron Rivest at MIT. He's the R in RSA, who's been interested in electronic voting really from the very beginning of this. And he came up with this very elegant concept called software independence as a desirable property for voting systems. And the idea of a software independent voting system is that it is simply one in which you can use computers and software, but the integrity of the outcome shouldn't depend on the integrity of the software. That is, you can detect a flaw in the count and then recover from it and find out what the true vote was. And systems should be designed with software independence as a desirable property. Well, how can you do that? Well, it turns out there is existing technology that can do software independent voting. And one way to do that is with a HAVA legal system, optical scan voting machines. This is an example from 2007 made by ES&S. This is basically the use of a paper ballot that you mark, and you put it in a device that looks sort of like a fax machine or a shredder, depending on whether you're optimistic or pessimistic. But it reads your ballots, records the ballot markings internally, maintains a tally electronically, just like a DRE machine does, but most importantly, captures your ballot into a regular ballot box after it's been read. And it has some additional advantages, like if you inadvertently vote for two people for president, it can reject your ballot and give you a chance to correct it before you walk away. Why is a system like this?
And we're just going to take the last couple of minutes of the Digital Divide today to ask for your phone call, for your click, 877-500-5266. That is the number we are asking you to call to become a member, increase your membership, renew your membership that's lapsed. And I just want to say I hope that you have enjoyed today's program and all of our Digital Divides. We've interviewed so many people on the show over the years. So amazing. Just some of the most amazing people on the planet. And the Digital Divide has brought them to you. And I'm so grateful when you tune in, and even more delirious when you call and say you've been parked in your driveway for the last 20 minutes because you don't want to miss even a minute of a compelling interview. And that is just one of the most satisfying things that can happen when you're producing a show, you're a volunteer, and you know, you kind of put your heart and soul and blood into a show. 877-500-5266. And we've featured MAPS, the Multidisciplinary Association for Psychedelic Studies, been very influential in making legal medical trials happen all over the world, even here in the United States. These are clinical trials to treat depression, PTSD, and other non-illness related studies with psilocybin mushrooms, LSD, ecstasy, now marijuana. Trials going on at Johns Hopkins University School of Medicine, and your support, your donations, your membership makes the programming possible because it makes the sound come out of the hall. You know, we come in as volunteers and we use our energy to make the show, and your monetary donations are the other half of that make all the practical side of everything happen. So please give a call, 877-500-5266. It's Dell.
Yes, Rabia, I am Dell, and I am so compelled by what you are saying, and I'm wondering why folks aren't calling, because I feel exactly the same way.
They're
Rabia,
spellbound.
I know they are spellbound. And or everybody's driving. That's good, you're being safe, folks. Good. 877-500-5266. Once you're on your lunch break or wherever you are going, please take a moment to show some love for your community radio station. Today is a special day, news and public affairs special. So after this hour, we're going to continue with a talk by Van Johns. He was just in the community, not last night, but the night before. We were there. We recorded the talk, and now we're here on KBOO to play it for you today. We're also going to have a panel conversation about police accountability, and we're also going to play for you some coverage of the ICE occupation here in Portland. This is your community radio station. This is where you stay informed. platform. And then those dire times, folks, you want to make sure that you have a reliable and credible source of information in order for you to get, get what is going to happen at the next election. What are the other options? Who is telling you about what are the other options? Hear your fellow community member on your community radio station. That's 877-500-5266 is the number to call. And for everybody who calls right now, we will match your donation dollar for dollar. Also, if you become a member now, you will be entered for a chance to win a prize. And today, there is sauna passes to the Lolelai Day Spa and a $30 gift certificate to Byways Cafe. So if you wanted to treat yourself, today is the day to donate to KBOO. 877-500-5266 is the number to call right now.
So fine, this calling bell, this forged bell, this dark bell, this the night bell, this calling, this burden, this falling, the world turning.
The time is 12 p.m. You are listening to KBOO Portland.
At KBOO, we accept many kinds of vehicle donations. We accept fuzzy vans, broken cars, zippy scooters, seaworthy boats, well-worn farm equipment, family-sized SUVs, old jet skis, and more. If your vehicle has a clean title, we can take it as a donation. If your vehicle isn't working, we can work with that, too. Call 877-KBOO-123. That's 877-526-6123. Or go to our website, kboo.fm/vehicle.
KBOO would like to give special thanks to our local community partners who've donated food for our volunteers today. Breakfast was provided by Zell's Cafe, a breakfast and brunch spot at 1300 Southeast Morrison Street, serving baked salmon Benedict, German waffles, and more. Lunch was provided by The Spicy Spoon, located at 3540 North Mississippi Avenue in the North Portland area.